Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two as we continue along on a Monday. And what a wild weekend in the NFL. We see some upsets, and I use that term kind of loosely again because they're not upsets like rush the field upsets, but they certainly were eye-opening. But again, we go down this road with this league every now and then, but yesterday it just felt like there was a lot. We'll get into the Monday Night Football game in a little bit. We also got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Eric Edholm will join us from Yahoo Sports. We'll talk about this weekend. Tonight, the Steelers will be home to take on the Chicago Bears. The Steelers have won three straight, and albeit it not convincing, and they're not looking all that great. The Steelers, I don't know how to properly put this. They are the team I root for, but I absolutely want to give you a very objective view of this football team. This is not a team I would trust to win a critical game. I would not trust them to go and beat Tennessee, for example. I wouldn't trust them to beat the Bills again. They caught them off guard in week one, but I don't think they would catch them off guard down the road in a postseason game. I mean, beating the Broncos when the Broncos were struggling, beating the Seahawks without Russell Wilson, and beating a Browns team that they've kind of had their number against over the years. I know those are good wins in a way because they're wins of the National Football League, but I don't think they're wins that would make you go, wow, this team has turned it around and are really dominant. They will play the Bears tonight, and they got the Lions coming up next week. And then after that, you know, they've got the Chargers and the Ravens on their schedule still, and the Titans are on their schedule. Who knows what the Chiefs team will look like in around Christmas time? And they'll have the Ravens again. So I do expect the Steelers to be around a 500 football team. But in the way it's working out right now, if the Steelers do get a winnable game tonight and a game against the Lions, all of a sudden, if they are 6-3 going in, you know, coming out of week 11 or week 10, I should say, then all of a sudden they're going to be one of the better teams in the AFC. Now, that'll all sort itself out. But tonight is one of those games where the Steelers will get their fifth win amongst many 5-win teams. All right, coming up next, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also get into a special anniversary that I bring up every single year that happened yesterday. And then we will also have Eric Edholm to talk some NFL. It's all coming up in this hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. I've had 2 days off due to illness last week. If there was one thing I needed, it was the good, the bad, and the dumb to help me overcome the allergy cold of the fall season. What's the good of the day?
You know, very rarely, I think, do we have a wholesome story such as this one.
Oh, all right. I like wholesome stories.
Yeah, we got to have a wholesome story. An elderly couple used Craigslist. Usually that doesn't go the direction you want to anymore, right? But an elderly couple used Craigslist to hire a tutor so they can play The Last of Us, which is a video game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, when I say elderly, the couple, I believe they were early eight. The husband was 81. The wife was 79.
Aww.
And eventually they found a 21-year-old who stopped by a couple of times a week to show the ins and outs of how to play. I already forgot the video game name. The Last of Us.
Yeah, what did they play?
The Last of Us Part 2.
What's that? Is that a zombie shoot 'em up game?
Probably.
That's awesome.
Probably one of those type of things. I don't know. Yeah, it's the second installment in the acclaimed post-apocalyptic franchise.
Wow.
So they were stuck playing it, and the only thing they could do was, hey, you know what? We need some help. There's probably a young kid out there who could use some cash. So they hired him, and he stopped by a couple times a week. And, you know, good story.
That is a good story.
I would never think that a early 80s, late 70s young couple would want to play video games or play something like post-apocalyptic games.
Yeah, what was the reason? What was the reason again they wanted to do it?
Oh, they just couldn't figure it out.
Oh, okay, they couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, they couldn't figure. They wanted to play it. I mean, I guess I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Did they give a reason why they went down the road in the first place?
I didn't see that reason.
Okay.
Because they were playing other video games like Destroy All Humans, Grand Theft Auto, and they wanted to play The Last of Us and didn't understand what, you know, how to navigate through and to win. So
I remember when my grandmother, my grandfather in Brooklyn, because we'd always gather with my cousins, they bought an Atari 2600 just to have it in the house so when we would come over, we could play.
Yeah.
And of course, we were all like fighting over the joysticks and stuff, but we would try to get my grandmother to play like Space Invaders. And it's the funniest thing when little kids try to teach grandma and grandpa their video games. And I can't wait to do it. Like, I can't wait for my grandkids, whatever virtual reality next level video game is out there when my grandkids are, you know, playing video games. I can't wait to be the old person that's trying to figure it out.
There was a commercial a long time ago. It was like PlayStation put it out, you know, like what could the future hold? And it was like PlayStation 10 was what they were doing. And it literally was like they would touch something in their ear and then a video game video would pop up right in front of their face.
Yeah, don't you think we're not that far away from
where
like
we're headed?
Remember the holodeck on Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yep.
Where you were like, I just want to be in the Old West and a saloon in the Old West, and then you would just be there. I think we're heading into that in that world.
Well,
we're
almost
there with
the
goggles.
Remember how far-fetched it was? What was it when Back to the Future 2?
Right.
And they were like, you know, pull down the screens, like show me. It's like window scenes or something like that, and you can just project like, oh, that's the Manhattan skyline, or there's
right.
the Grand Canyon. I mean, that something like that. That's so easy to put on your TV now.
Yeah.
You can watch any of that.
Some of my fondest memories were just my grandmother just laughing hysterically while she played Space Invaders
yeah.
with us grandkids. I think it's cool. That's really cool. That's a fun story. Well then, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Had his first start for the Packers this weekend. Pretty big deal, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, mom and girlfriend made the trip.
Of course they did.
To Arrowhead.
Why not?
Now, I don't know who you want to blame here, but I'll give you the scenario. Mom and girlfriend were noticed on camera way up.
Oh, yeah.
Last row of Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter. Yeah.
Last row. And apparently, you know, a lot of people are putting the blame on the Chiefs. First of all, it's like, oh, look at the tickets they gave Jordan Love's parents. But actually, the blame probably belongs to the Packers.
Because they get an allotment of tickets.
Because they get an allotment of tickets of really good seats, and the Packers gave them away to other people instead of their starting quarterback making his first professional start.
That is ridiculous. So maybe they were far enough to not see the horrendous play.
They had to have been because they literally their backs were resting up against the wall of the stadium.
I'm seeing a lot of articles today that are like, Matt LaFleur, we didn't support Jordan Love. And people like, the Packers didn't give him any help. Come on. Like,
what are you expecting out of him?
What do you expect? Like, the guy was drafted in 2020. He spent a full year behind Aaron Rodgers in a championship level type of season where they went to the NFC title game. And then he's the backup again going this year. Like, he wasn't a rookie. Like he's not a rookie. He's been in the league now. He's seen it. He's practiced. He's been in the rhythm of the NFL. I'm sorry. I'm not going to just give him a pass.
And literally had not seen a minute of field action until this year's preseason.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Because remember, there was no preseason last year. We were rolled right into the games. Or was there I don't remember if there was.
Yeah.
I think maybe there was one game.
It was like three preseason games, but like nobody played in them.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and there were problems with them during preseason.
And he didn't see 1 minute of the field last year.
It's not like they called him up and they were like, hey, we need a starting quarterback. Are you able to sling the ball? And he's like, yeah, I guess. Like, he's been in the system a long time. He should have been more fluid in running that offense than what he was. I get it. I understand. I didn't expect him to be Aaron Rodgers. That's not what I mean. But a late touchdown that's the only thing you put on the board? You couldn't lead him to a field goal drive or anything? Come on.
Against that Chiefs defense.
Yeah, exactly.
And that offense that's practically giving you the ball.
The Chiefs defense that is begging you to just rack up the yardage on them. They're giving you yardage. Are you man enough to take it? Yeah, I mean, come on. That's the Chiefs defense giving you their money. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Well, actually, I have two, but the second one I'm going to give you is probably, I was just rereading it. It's probably like a little mixture between bad and dumb.
Okay.
Right? But the first bad of the, or the first dumb of the day is Rob Manfred. Did you hear what he did yesterday?
What did Rob Manfred do?
He announced the Gold Glove winners of 2021.
I heard the Cardinals did good.
During Sunday Night Football.
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
You know, just to keep baseball relevant.
What? Why do they do, like, who, like, aren't people smart enough not to do
that? I mean, you know, I don't know what's going on tomorrow in sport.
Well, yeah, why not wait
tomorrow would be a great day to do it.
I know college basketball is starting Tuesday, but that's a big deal, but it's not a big enough deal that you can't announce this.
Yeah.
You could announce it this afternoon.
You could announce it.
And got a little bit of run.
Yeah.
I think Monday Night Football is, you know, a stop the country type of game tonight.
Yeah, but I mean, enough people are still going to tune in. But if you did it like, you know, 2 hours prior,
yeah,
3 hours prior, you, what are you going up against?
I mean, the Titans Rams was a gigantic game last night. I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah, during the game, it wasn't even like, hey, we're going to do this during halftime. I think it was during the run of play that I didn't even get an alert on my phone. That's how bad it was.
Do you think that league is afraid to admit that they're second tier?
Maybe even third tier.
Like, they sit in the meeting and they go, well, we're going to announce the Gold Glove Award winners. When do you want to do it? Well, let's do it Sunday night. Well, you know the NFL is playing a big game on Sunday night. Yeah, but we have to act like we don't care about that.
Yeah.
And they go, well, we do care about that. Yes, but we can't act like we care about that. And then they go, oh, I get it. Maybe, is that it?
I don't know, or the only other thing I can think of is like, let's announce it Sunday night so that gives everyone something to talk about Monday.
Yeah, I mean, they don't schedule World Series games, at least they used to, but I don't think they schedule World Series games on Monday night anymore.
No, I think you're right.
They did when in 2007, because I remember there was Game 5 at Coors Field and the Broncos were playing the Packers. So it was supposed to be this weird day in Denver if that series had gotten Game 5. Red Sox made sure there wasn't. But I don't think they do that anymore. I think they're sort of like, they definitely don't schedule the World Series on a Thursday because Joe Buck needs to travel to his Thursday night gig.
That's right.
Right? You can't have Joe Buck in two places at once. Although if there was cloning of Joe Buck, Fox absolutely would have done it.
Unless you change it up and if Fox doesn't carry the World Series, then you can do Thursday night.
Yeah.
But if you do it on ABC, you're not doing it Monday night.
That's true. That's true.
And if you do it on NBC, I guess you're not doing it Sunday night.
Right. Good point. Yeah. All right. What's the second dumb?
Second, this is kind of dumb bad. And basically what I'm going to chalk it up to is I had this story. I carried it over from last week because this is absolutely the worst luck a human being could ever possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A man fleeing from a swarm of bees in the Amazon jungle it was eaten by piranhas.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on.
And I don't
give
mean
me the
to
details
chuckle.
Of this. Give me the details of this.
So basically, him and two of his buddies were fishing, right? And they were fishing in there. I guess they were fishing on an island or like on a peninsula or whatever. When all of a sudden, I think one of them stepped on a bees or knocked down some bees or something like that. And the bees just started to attack them. And to escape the bees from attacking, they just jumped into the water. The closest thing, you know, to get away from it. Now, their two friends got away with only a few bites, but the other one, unfortunately, did not.
So he was devoured by little piranha fish?
Well, he was eaten enough that he died. And
He drowned. See, this is how naive I am. Okay? I thought that was kind of like Hollywood, like piranha fish, James Bond kind of thing. Like, I didn't think you died. Like, I thought the piranha fish would bite you, but you'd be like, ow, that hurt. But look, he just punctured the skin. I didn't think they devoured you like they make it out to be in the movies. Do you know what I mean? Where they like lower the meat into the pit, the water, and then like 30 seconds later, it's a bone.
Everything starts bubbling up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when they couldn't find him, they called police, and a police officer was about to jump in the water, and then somebody stopped him and says, no, wait, piranha's in the water. And then they ended up finding him about 13 feet from the shore, just bite marks all over his neck
that's
and face.
That's got to be horrible.
And
horrifying.
Yeah.
Oh. See, in the movie Live and Let Die, James Bond movie, Blofeld sends some woman into a piranha pit, and he presses a button, like a bridge fall opens up and she falls. And it's just like this horrifying scene where she falls in the water, because they set it up with the henchman putting in the meat. And he goes, oh, my piranha fish get hungry. And then it's stripped, like the piranhas just tear the meat to pieces. And he goes, they can strip a man to the bone in less than 60 seconds. And then she goes in and she shoots up, ah, and then she gets sunk back in the water. That's it. And so I was like, nah, that can't really happen. That's not really true.
Yeah,
but now you could die from. I didn't know that. That's kind of
in reality. In reality, piranhas tend to stay away from humans.
Yeah,
but if they feel threatened,
they'll attack.
They're aggressive and they'll protect their area. And I guess these guys, once one got a good bite and maybe I guess blood's in the water,
and then that's it. Here comes the party.
See, I always remember. You remember the movie The Toy with Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason? A movie that could never be made ever again.
No.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google it and read the plot synopsis.
Oh,
this movie could never be. But he went it was like on. I can't remember. I just remember his name was Ulysses.
Yeah.
Or U.S. That was, his name was U.S. Grant. I think that's what it was. His blonde smoke show girlfriend kept pronouncing it the S a little differently.
My name is U.S.
Not you.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, that's great.
But he went into the water. And I remember Richard Pryor went into the water and then came out and his shirt was all full of holes. His pants were all full of holes because, you know, the little kid would say, there's piranhas in the water. And he's like, there's no piranhas. That's only in South America.
Right.
That's what I mean. You know, that's why I have a fear of piranhas from just that movie. This is like, just rip his clothes to shreds.
Wow, that's wild. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, Eric Edholm will join us later on this hour. We'll talk NFL and the wild weekend that was. Coming up, though, yesterday, a huge anniversary. I think we do it every single year. I still want to bring it up because I still think it's important. That's next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call. On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, going to join us in about 10 minutes. And we're going to talk to him about this crazy weekend in the NFL, his thoughts, especially on the Aaron Rodgers situation and all of those good stuff. That's all coming up. But yesterday was the 30th anniversary. And I think you and I, Ron, I think we talk about this every year that it happens. Yesterday just happened to be the big 30th anniversary of Magic Johnson announcing he was HIV positive.
Yes.
And I feel like I bring it up every year, and I'm going to bring it up every year that I do a radio show, because I think it's single-handedly one of the most incredible things that we don't discuss, because I think many people don't have any idea that he's HIV positive, which 30 years ago was impossible.
Or not only that, but really how, like even today, how scary HIV was.
Right.
Like, I feel like that has gone away.
That has gone away. That has gone away. I know, look, for those of you who are alive at that time, especially if you were alive, like, I was old enough to know what it was.
Yes.
I was old enough to hear the news, process the news, and know what it was. Not like you were three or anything like that. So I'm talking to a lot of you that are older. You know, we were going to watch Magic Johnson die.
In a couple of years.
We were going to watch Magic Johnson die. We were going to watch him whittle away and die. And we knew that. It was, at that time, almost 100%, if not 100% in people's minds, certainty he was going to die very soon.
Yeah, because you saw it with other celebrities.
Absolutely.
I mean, Freddie Mercury died and Arthur Ashe. And I'll never forget. The one that impacted me the most was Ryan White.
Ryan White, the kid.
The kid.
Who got the blood transfusion.
Yeah.
Right? There was, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday too, and I was like, do you remember like the hysteria of HIV? Like it really was like if you got it, that was it. If you were announced that you had it, that was it. That was it. And so Magic Johnson had it. He comes on, he announces that he has it, and everybody started weeping. Just, this was, I mean, Larry Bird cried. I mean, everybody was in the sports world. We just didn't know how to process this. Like, this can't be right. This can't be right. And I know I say a lot of times that if you were back then and you knew, if you could go back in time and tell people what the future was going to be like, no one would believe you. This has to be number one on that list. Like if you really did go back in time and said, I'm from the future and I'm telling you 30 years ago, 30 years from now, he's going to look as healthy as anybody, any 63-year-old you'll ever know. He's going to be owner of the Dodgers. He's going to be working, like he's going to be involved in everything.
We're, in fact, you may not believe this, but the nation as a whole will mock him.
Right, exactly, exactly. Exactly.
We
Do
will
not
make
worry.
Fun of him. We will make jokes about him because of actions and things that he has done.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Not possible.
And I listen, I know people today, like younger people today say, well, he's rich. He has access to all the drugs. That didn't stop every celebrity we knew from dying
yep.
of this. Like every celebrity we knew in the 80s that got HIV and died, they had money too, and they couldn't stop it. They withered away, they died, and we went, oh my God, what is this? What is happening? And it was a...
But that's why I brought up the fact that even with HIV, we were, it was terrifying.
Terrifying.
Like, you got it, it was a death sentence. Now you get it, and you're like, well, all right, you know, it's not a great situation, but here's how you can live with it.
I mean, it was... And there was a lot, and I was young in the 80s, and it was a confusing message. Like, can you get it from kissing? Can you get it from going to the dentist? We didn't know, right? And you remember how the NBA was like, all right, he quit and then he came back, and then people were like, well, what happens if he gets a cut? Can you get it through sweat? We had these open conversations and we had to have them. And everybody was able to have a conversation about it without freaking out. We all were able to say, if he's sweating and I'm playing, can it go through sweat without fear of being called a name? And there were some players that didn't want to play with him, and they were, you know, wow, you don't understand the science. And I remember that part. Karl Malone.
That was
especially.
A big one.
That was a big one. He was probably the biggest one. But I think the biggest takeaway from the 30 years is again, it's the fact that he's alive and well, so much so that you have to be reminded he has HIV.
Yep.
You have to be reminded that 30 years ago he made this announcement where we thought he was dead. And I find it, for me personally, as an 80s kid that grew up right in that thick of the Celtics-Lakers rivalry, rooting against Magic Johnson, cursing him out when he did that baby skyhook, wanting him to fail over and over again, for a guy like me to go, I don't know how to handle this. Like, I don't know how to handle this. And now to this day to see him, where you see him on TV, you see him tweet, you see him, you know, like quitting the Lakers. Remember that a couple of years ago? Or buying the Dodgers, and you see him at Dodger games. And you don't even know he has HIV. Well, you don't even remember he has HIV.
That's why I say we made fun of him, because of the way he quit on the Lakers. Remember,
yeah,
he was
right?
He's just in a hallway and he goes, you know what, guys, let me tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
I'm done. And even the Lakers front office was like, wait, what?
Wait, what? And he just went, yeah, I'm out.
I'm done. Didn't he want to swing it by us first?
He built an empire. He built a huge economic empire. He, again, ownership of the Dodgers, running the Lakers, TV, everything that he's done, and nobody says, yeah, man, it's amazing he's got HIV, because nobody says it at all. And that fact alone, I think, makes it the most remarkable anniversary that we have in sports. And we had it yesterday. He tweeted it out. I was glad he did, because I think for him to say, I still got this and I'm still working on it, I think it was great.
You're listening to Wake Up Call. Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 9 weeks in the NFL. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Eric at Home joins us, Yahoo Sports. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So I was saying this in the throughout the show today. We know the phrase is any given Sunday, but I wonder if we really, truly believe it. Because I still have – there's no way I would have ever believed that Jacksonville could beat the Buffalo Bills, even if I've seen a reiteration of that many times in my life following this sport.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, let's say an hour before kickoff, I told you, guess what? The Jaguars are going to win today. How do you think it's going to happen, right? You would have concocted a lot of, like, wow, you know, maybe a, you know, 90-yard pick six and a kick return for touchdown. You know, fluky stuff, like stuff that you don't see every day, just one of those games. Well, no, it was really just a dominant defensive performance. I thought Jacksonville's front got after it, and the Buffalo Bills offensive line did not. And Josh Allen started pressing and looked like he didn't really trust anybody, any of his receivers to, you know, other than Stephon Diggs, I guess. And, you know, it was just one of those days where, you know, you felt like, all right, eventually they'll tie this thing, send it to overtime or get that one last drive and win it. They just couldn't get anything going. The other Josh Allen, I know a lot of people have had fun with this, but I mean, it was unbelievable. It was a dominant performance. The interception was an outstanding instinctive play. The sack, you know, the fumble recovery. It was just one of those days where everything seemed to go right, or most things seemed to go right for the Jaguars. And then you ask yourself, how good is this Bills team? If you'd asked me on Friday, like, okay, who's the AFC contender? Probably going Buffalo. I don't know. Right. Now? You got me?
How much do you think, and just knowing that, God, the whole week is preparation. But again, yeah, we're all human, and how much do you think plays into an idea of what I'm seeing on tape is very beatable, and I'll just go down there and we'll just do what we do? How much does that play into it, even though you're there every week preparing for this one team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certain there's, you know, there's the tendency to do that. Look, this is probably one of the easier stretches of their schedule. You know, they play Miami last week. They had this game. They had the Jets next week, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, you know, coming off the bye, like, they kind of limped out of the bye, essentially. I know they did enough to beat the Dolphins last week, but it almost does feel like they're kind of in, you know, second preseason game mode or something. I don't know what it is exactly, but last week was fairly unimpressive, especially offensively. You know, the defense has done its job really the last 2 weeks. You can't really argue with the results. I mean,
right,
had that last scoring drive, I think they could have tightened up a little bit, but still, I just sort of feel like everything is starting to get a little bit of a slog on offense. And whether that's looking ahead or whether they didn't come out with the right focus after the bye, I don't know.
And the Patriots right now are right behind them now at 5-4. But the Patriots have a decent win against the Chargers on the road, but everybody else was a bad team. But are you seeing something with the Patriots that's scary?
Yeah, scary good and scary bad. Because, you know, they committed a lot of offensive penalties yesterday. They only scored, I think, 17 on offense. You know, defensively, you can't argue with the performance. They got in Darnold's head. They made it work. The run game offensively has clearly been their bread and butter. And if they're now trusting Ramondre Stevenson to carry the ball, you know, that's a 1-2 punch that I think could really, really be tough to stop. Remember when they had LeGarrette Blount, you sort of felt like, boy, they could run for 200 yards in a game, even with Tom Brady back then. That's kind of the attack they have now, where you have to prove you can stop their run game. And, oh, by the way, Mac Jones is completing a high percentage of his passes. Now, he's not perfect. He's made some mistakes. He's got to feel that backside pressure a little bit better. However, you know, they've at least come up with a formula that seems to work, even with, you know, different receivers kind of playing the lead role every week. And, you know, 1 week it's Jacoby Myers, then Hunter Henry has a pretty good game, and then, you know, one of the free agents, either Aguilar or Bourne, sort of makes a play here or there. It's hard to know what their their true strength is in the pass game, other than Mac mostly making pretty good decisions and the pass pro being decent, right? But look, it's working for them. They've kind of figured it out ever since the Bucs game. I mean, you know, that was really the start of what I thought was a pretty darn good defensive run and a little bit more clarity on offense.
Kudos to the Arizona Cardinals for stepping up, for guys stepping up and playing well in a road win. But on the flip side, San Francisco, what is an excuse to lose to lose that badly to a team that's missing so many offensive weapons?
Yeah, and like you said, you have to start by praising the Cardinals. J.J. Watt is on IR, A.J. Green out. You know, they lose this guy named Kyler Murray. I've heard he's pretty good. DeAndre Hopkins, I'm still waiting to see him, but he's excellent too from what I know. You know, and then Chase Edmonds gets one carry, and then he's out of the game. I mean, how many other, you know, fantasy football stars or standouts can you knock out of a game?
Right.
And they sweep the 49ers this season. They were really never in threat of losing that game after they, you know, took control of it. And boy, it was a slow start offensively, and it was terrible tackling on defense. That was really the game right there. I was shocked how poorly San Francisco's secondary played. I mean, I thought, okay, you know, their pressure will kind of help a little bit, and they'll be able to make some plays defensively. I mean, after the pass protection tightened up for Arizona, San Francisco had no answers. If they got a player in space, James Conner had an unbelievable game. They were not tackling him. It was shocking to see how listless they were defensively in that regard. And then, you know, Garoppolo, I don't think played a terrible game, but it was too much too late for them. And mistakes at critical times offensively was really, you know, what kind of drove the final spike in them.
The Tennessee Titans, without Derrick Henry, played a great game against the Rams. But in a league of adjustments, when do you think or how soon do you think the Titans are going to really feel the absence of Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the longer we go in the season, right, you make a good point. It's like you think of like a college basketball team in the tournament, right? Anybody can win a one-game type of situation, and I don't want to dismiss what they've done. It's five straight, you know, and three of them on the road and whatever. So, but this little stretch here, I think they get the Patriots coming up. I think they have a game against the Saints next week. You know, they do get a bye still coming up, which is going to help them. But, you know, I would think the longer they go in the season, when it's really Henry's time, like in December, when he can really kind of crank people up with those 25 and 30, you know, carry games and things like that, they probably will miss him. And Adrian Peterson, look, I mean, he's not a one-for-one replacement. I think most people realize that Henry is a singular talent. Like, there's no – you don't just plop a guy in and say, okay, go be Derrick Henry. So they're going to have to change a little bit. And they did last night. We saw signs of it, right? They were aggressive late, throwing the football and stuff. And, you know, that may have been Henry time. So I like the fact that they're willing to kind of change on the fly and – be a game matchup type of team, but also feature the pass. I guess that they're still leaving that glimmer of hope. Like maybe we can get him for a game late in the year, you know, or heading into the playoffs if we're lucky to get there. But I think they have to be prepared to not have him, and that means more 3 and 4 wide sets using those tight ends, and then, you know, being smart about how you utilize the backs.
Eric, I'll admit, I haven't really quite processed this yet, but I want to know if you have. It seems like it would be easy to just add a game and add a playoff team and just go, well, this is what it means. But have you been able to really look at where teams are and really process what that extra game is going to mean and what the extra playoff team is going to mean in terms of how good teams are or how well they're playing at this point?
Yeah, I mean, right now, we're really only at the halfway point, which is crazy to say. You know, week 9 now is the exact midpoint. And so, you know, as we start kind of looking ahead and looking at, you know, who that last playoff team, like, we're, for instance, I think New England is the last playoff team in the AFC last I looked last night, you know. And I believe it's Atlanta on the NFC side,
right,
too,
yeah.
Right? So, okay, all of a sudden you say to yourself, geez, are these, you know, 2 weeks ago, would we have thought of the Patriots or the Falcons as playoff teams? No. That's how quickly things can change in this league and how our perception of teams can change. And, you know, I guess I'm looking at it and saying there are too many unknowns right now. And, you know, New England may get hot, the Falcons may get hot, or, you know, we could see them play a little bit more like we saw them play in the beginning of the year. So it's really too hard to know big picture what we're looking at until probably we get to week 13, 14, 15, and, you know, not trying to sidestep your question or anything.
No, but I was just thinking about, like, the Steelers tonight. If they win, there's, like, right. There's like every team has 5 wins this in the AFC. Yeah. It's like there's just we can't really sort them out yet.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, where do you place the Bengals after yesterday?
Exactly. Just when you praise them, they go, "Nah, we're just kidding. We're just messing with you. We're not. No. We're the same old Bengals. We're good."
Yeah, we need to learn. We need to just, like, when they play well, it's like when the rookie hits the home run, he comes back to the dugout, nobody high fives them, nobody slaps them on the butt. Like, we got to be that way with the Bengals. Like, we can't, right. When they do well, we have to sort of pretend like we didn't notice, and then we'll sort of say, oh, okay, we were just messing with you when you make the playoffs. But right now, they don't look like a postseason team.
No, without question. Eric, good talking to you, my friend. We'll catch up with you down the road. Always good chatting with you.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You got it. Eric at home, Yahoo Sports. Oh, man. I like talking to him. Really fun. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. I'm going to start laughing, Ron, because remember 2 weeks ago, we said they were the most dangerous team in the AFC?
Yes.
Like, watch out. Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh, we were all on board. Joe Burrow was the next revelation. I mean, we even talked about Joe Burrow. Like, you know what? Serious MVP consideration.
Oh, my God. I'm like the guy that, as Henry Ford is putting the last bolt on the Model T, I'm all in on buggy whips. I'm like, no. I'm putting all my money in horse-drawn carriages. The Bengals went, no, seriously, we're just kidding. We beat the Ravens, and you all thought we were great, but no, we stink.
And then we chalked up the Jets loss. Like, you know what? I mean,
yeah.
Any given Sunday, like the moniker we've been saying all day today.
Yeah.
That's what last weekend was for the Bengals. And then this weekend, they didn't even make the trip to the field.
I just have this way of, I just think about the 3 bets I lost over the weekend. The fact that I told my wife that, oh, don't worry about South Carolina. Florida should roll past them. My team stinks. And South Carolina just put a whooping on Florida. My wife was so angry at me Saturday night. Like, I had something to do with it. She goes, you jinxed it. I go, see?
If that was possible, I would have been doing this a long time ago.
Are you kidding? I'm just going to do the opposite of everything. I'm going to do the opposite of everything I feel.
It's just
Cincinnati. Well played, Bengals. Well played.
I mean, we had them in our top 5 in everything.
I know. I don't give that kind of love to teams like that. I went out on a limb for you guys. 41-16 to the Browns. Browns went on the road, no less.
And I even seriously considered Joe Burrow's, like, hey, he's, you know, one of the names up there for MVP this year.
Oh, without question. Oh, God, how times have changed. Well. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home? Rocket can. Back to the Florida-South Carolina game. I actually felt bad South Carolina won that game, which is a weird feeling for me. I didn't, you know, my son was really upset, and I didn't, you know. This is dad. I'm like, I don't want you to be upset. But at the same time, I was like, son, every now and then you run into a strong Gamecock and you just got to take it. That's just the way it goes. I told my wife, I said, isn't this weird for me? I was like, we've always had this very playful rivalry since the day we met. Since the day we met. I said, 24 years of this game being the best game of the weekend for us. We have a flag. We have a house divided flag that goes down. She got me tickets 1 year when I was in South Carolina. She got me a gift. She got me a ticket to see them. That was Tebow, where South Carolina blew a fourth quarter opportunity to take the lead of a game, and Tebow, you know, ended it. But I felt bad. I told my son, I was like, I don't know what to tell you. That your team's no good. They're terrible. They had this one game against Alabama that fooled me, where I thought, my God, this is a really good football team. And since then, they have been trash, absolute trash. And it's always good to beat Florida as a South Carolina Gamecock. I mean, it's always good to beat Florida. The years that Spurrier did it, best years of my life. That first year he did it, where my wife and I met in 1997, right after Danny Werfel won the national championship. So from 97, I think, until 2005, I never saw South Carolina even close. And then Spurrier won the first year Urban Meyer was the coach there. And then Urban and that took care of that. But later on, Spurrier would win a few games. But I want my son to, my son even said, I don't think I'm going to go to the Florida State game. I was like, baloney, you're going to the Florida State game. I tried to explain to him, in college football, those games, you throw the record books out. It doesn't matter. You go to your rivalry game. It doesn't matter how good or bad you're playing. You have to go to your rivalry game. God, I'm losing that on a new generation. They think it's national championship or nothing. That's the problem with college football now. It's national championship or nothing. Used to not always be that way. All right, we'll talk a little bit about college football and the shakeup that occurred this weekend and more football as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.